Good morning. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. It's great to have you with us. If you're visiting with us, thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship. You say, well, you're getting this all, this is what you always say between songs. But I want to share something with you this morning. I would say that there's probably not one person in this building today that hasn't gone through a storm, is not in the middle of a storm, or unfortunately, I'd have to tell you this morning that there's probably a storm on your near horizon. So for that, we're going to sing a song this morning, but I want to share with you some of the lyrics. I won't go through it all, but I want you to hear me this morning. The chorus says, "He never promised that the cross would not get heavy." Amen? "And that the hill would not be hard to climb." There are some folks this morning that are facing storms, and the hill, Pastor, might get a little hard to climb. Christy? The hill might be a little hard to climb. Oh, but listen. He never offered victories without some fighting. But he said help would always come through in time. So just remember when you're standing in the valley. Boy, that's not too promising either, is it? When you're standing in the valley, sometimes having to make decisions, and the adversary, the enemy says, why don't you just give in? But just hold on. Encouraging words here. My Lord will show up. And he will take you through the fire again. Amen? Amen? You pray as the choir sings this morning, through the fire.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard. Victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you.
So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. When I look at all my victories and the Spirit rises up in me, it's through the fire my weakness is made strong.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again. Well, I know within myself I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, he shields the flames again, again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. Oh, he never offered victories without fighting. He said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you. Just hold on, our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again, again. Yeah.
Good job. Good to sing this morning. Well, we appreciate the Lord this morning being our firefighter. And he is anything and everything we need him to be and much more. I'm glad we're not walking this road alone. Brother Tim, we have somebody with us and that sticketh closer than any brother. And what a blessing it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And now that I think about it, this Tuesday will be 22 years since I've been saved. And got saved on November 19th, 2002 at this little hole-in-the-wall gym, Mom and Paul, y'all remember, called Iron House Fitness. Remember that place? And got saved there one night, and my life has been totally different ever since. Not perfect. You can ask my wife. You can ask my daughter. This guy is not perfect, but I am different. I am different. And so what a blessing it is to know Jesus. What a blessing it is to be here this morning to worship him. And I hope you've come for that very reason. I want to welcome everybody formally to Calvary Baptist Church this morning right here in Powder Springs. I want to welcome those who have taken the time to tune in on Facebook. We never take you for granted. Thank you for watching. And maybe even those listening on our webpage, www.calvaryministries.org. And we got a little miniature radio station as well for, I forget about sometimes, so I remind myself, and I'm saying it now, and that radio station is in your bulletin. Sometimes there may be someone passing through Powder Springs, slipping through the radio stations, and find us and be able to hear the gospel. And so what a blessing, all the avenues we have to be able to minister this morning. Of course, you see our Christmas boxes down front, and this is the OCC, Operation Christmas Child box making we had this year, and these will be sent off, I guess, what, next week? Collected today? Yeah, so, yeah. Let's give a round of applause for all the work that went into this. And what a blessing, Miss Vicki, Miss Marianne, for sharing your heart with us about it. Sharon and all the other, all the women just did such a wonderful job with this. And what a blessing, what a blessing to be able to be a child in another country, receive a box with the gospel in it, with some necessities they may need, even some toys. You know, they're hungry in those other countries. They're hungry. And they're hungry for the word, and they're hungry for anything that they can get. Here in the U.S., we're spoiled. We are spoiled rotten in the U.S. Nobody wants to hear the gospel. You give somebody a tract, they'll throw it down in your face, in front of you. And so, but yet, it is still high time to preach the gospel in the U.S. But we appreciate those who made those boxes. If you had a part in that, thank you so very much. I do want to mention a couple things this morning before we pray. We have Thanksgiving right around the corner. And so I hope that you will have a great Thanksgiving. Just remember on the 24th, which is next Sunday night specifically, we will be having our Thanksgiving dinner. And so we ask if you'd like to join us, please join us. We'll have a good time together in eating a Thanksgiving dinner. Sign-up sheet is down front here if you haven't signed up to bring anything. I think it doesn't look that busy on our sign-up sheet. So we may have chips and crackers for Thanksgiving, you know. And so come on now. We got to eat around here, huh? I got a figure to maintain. Come on now. Come on now. And so, you know, we got to have some food on that menu over there. So please think about what you might be able to bring and fill that out when you can. And, again, we got a lot of things going on. We have a Christmas tree lot being built, everything to do with that, and tents going up tomorrow. We have CLU Christmas lunch. You can look in your bulletin for that, but that'll be on December 1st. And we've got Christmas get-togethers for Sunday school classes. We're going to have communion in December, just all kinds of things in December. So be on the listen and the lookout for our scheduling for services during Thanksgiving and Christmas time and New Year's. And so that's another thing. Well, this morning, it's somebody's birthday, and I wonder who it could be. Brother Johnny Eccles, happy birthday this morning, brother. Yeah. Sir? Yeah, happy birthday. We appreciate you. 21, man. Wow. Hey, that is amazing, brother. That is amazing, huh? How old are you turning today? How old are you turning today, brother? 92 years old. So Mary Kelly don't have the lead anymore. And womp, womp, womp. So all eyes on Brother Johnny. Brother, we appreciate you. You and Miss Pat, your faithfulness, your resilience. And all your Miss Pat being down and out and getting back up and going again, Brother Johnny. You know, we love you guys. We appreciate y'all. So happy birthday, brother, from our heart to yours. Amen. Both dearly, and God bless you so very much. God bless you. Well, you glad you're here this morning? Say amen. Amen. We've come to worship the Lord for just 1 hour in song and through His Word. God has something to say. I say it every Sunday, but He does. He really does. He has something special, unique, tailor-made for this hour, this morning, and I hope you receive it. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for all things, the good, the bad, the ugly, the challenging things. Thank you, God, for the times that we're on the mountain and the sun shining and there's not a cloud in the sky. But also, Lord, we're thankful for the times that we are in the valley, those low places, because it doesn't take just sunshine for a flower to grow. It takes rain, Lord. It takes all kinds of elements that produce a beautiful flower, a beautiful fragrance. And so, God, I just pray that you would be with everybody here today and everything they may be going through, everybody on the prayer list. And maybe there's even somebody here that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray today that that would be made clear to them, that, God, you, Holy Spirit, would speak to their heart and let them know that they need to be saved to go to heaven and to receive their purpose for their life here and to have your protection and provision upon them. We love you. We thank you for Brother Johnny and Sister Pat, what they mean to us and the church. Continue to bless them. Keep them safe. We love you. We praise you. Save the lost and bless the saved today is our prayer. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Again, it's good to see you in the house of the Lord. Take a hymnal. Turn with me to page 120. Church stand, choir stand, and let's sing together about the victory we have in Jesus. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath. On the last now. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Again, choir practice this afternoon at 4:30. Choir, if you'll just meet me here at 4:30, and we'll go over some songs for tonight. And let me just say, Brother James, go ahead. I thought you had something to say for us this morning. please remember December the 15th, that Sunday morning, will be our the choir's part of Christmas, our music program. On that Sunday morning, and we have a little some visitors that will be here helping us out that day, and you'll remember that from last year when they get here. It's quite a blessing. We look forward to that. December the 15th, that Sunday morning, please remember the choir and our music program that morning, and we're excited about that. But we've got some work to do, and Christmas right around the corner. Do you notice that? And we haven't had Thanksgiving yet, but Christmas is right around the corner. You can find that out by going to any of your local stores, and probably TV and everything else. A Hallmark, that's the only thing that comes on at our house. We've been watching Christmas since July, and that's no lie. But it is so good to be in the house of the Lord. I remember. Brother Johnny mentioning that this morning. I remember going over there, me and Gary, coming over to your house and helping with a little physical therapy from Marty. And I know it was probably a blessing to y'all, but you'll never know what a blessing it was to us. Gary and I left that house a lot of days in tears, but it was a great blessing. And thank you for the opportunity we had to be able to share in that. And I know a lot of folks here at the church did those same things and much more. But that was a great blessing for us. And now, that was Gary is my brother-in-law, and he's now in heaven. And you look back over time, and you realize how short time truly is. And but I'm thankful for 92 years for Brother Johnny, and what a blessing he's been to our church. Him and Miss Pat, just great, great saints of God, and we're so thankful for them. But let's go to the Lord again in a word of prayer this morning. Pray for Pastor. We've got a long list of prayer requests. Probably could never mention them all this morning, but the Lord knows all about each one, and we're thankful for that. But let's go to Him in a word of prayer. Father, we love You and praise You, Lord, and we do thank You for the opportunity that we have to be in Your house. Lord, thank You for Your blessings upon us. Lord, it is a time of thanksgiving. It's the season to be thankful. But Lord, help us not just to pick November and a certain day to be thankful. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. And Lord, we truly do thank You for all of Your blessings on us. And Lord, we pray that You'd bless the church. You know exactly what we stand in need of. Lord, I pray that You'd bless in the service today. Be with our pastor. Speak through him what we need to hear. Lord, accept our worship and our praise. Fill this place with Your Holy Spirit. Get glory out of everything that's done. Bless the offering now. And we'll praise You and thank You for all that's accomplished here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to say this morning, did I mention that I love Him? And I'm just so thankful for all His many blessings. This week, I just want to just tell y'all what He's done for me. If you know anything about the current situation with Lily and what we've walked through from 7 to 17 with her, mainly privately and prayerfully, because it was such a sensitive matter for her. But I've really, really struggled with the recent news of her having to undergo surgery, you know, 4 or 4.5 hours. Thank God it's only the upper back that we're having to go in for and not the full back, which would have been about 8 hours. But I just want to thank God publicly for what He did this week. Thursday was a really hard day, and I cried most of the day, and I got home Thursday night, and let me insert, too, that Justin and Lily's at perfect peace with this. She knows what kind of pain she's been in. And Justin's been to every single doctor's appointment at CHOA from 7 to as of current. But I got home on Thursday night, and God did something really special for me. He's given me that peace that passes all understanding. And I'm going to tell you what He did. I got a phone call, and this is what He did. He gave me the assurance that Dr. DeVito, he is the most senior doctor at Children's Health Care of Atlanta, and through Miss BJ's granddaughter, Jessica, she's the main orthopedic that's going to be there that week during Lily's recovery period, and she's going to be the one on Lily's floor being with her. Now, you tell me if God is not real and He is not divinely arranged that. And He gave me that peace that passes all understanding with her telling through one of BJ's daughters that Dr. DeVito is the most senior skilled surgeon at CHOA, and that we are going to be under his care. And not only to mention that he was in Ecuador all of last week treating many, many patients and with surgery that have scoliosis from the top to the bottom. So I just want to thank God publicly and just say that, did I mention that I love him? I love him so much, and I thank him.
David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious by leaning on his bosom. So for a moment, may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him when I can see no way he makes a way. How many songs can be sung about God's Son? Well, there are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all my Savior has done. That's all I want to say.
bless your heart. Thank the Lord. Yes. Man, he sure will. He sure will. Continue to pray the situation. What a blessing. God is moving this morning. And he moves on hearts, and hearts move. That's how it works. What a blessing. I'm just going to stand here a minute. Let the Lord do what he wants to do. We'll say it's good to see Alan Carlene back with us this morning. And I know we got one visiting over here. Good to see you. Daughter, I'm sure. That's what I thought. We met before, I believe. Good to have you here with us. All right. Has anybody else got a word that, I mean, you just have to say? Not that you want to be heard, but you have to say. If not, I got something I have to share this morning. Amen. Well, we appreciate that testimony, Miss Amanda. Appreciate, Christy, what you said. It definitely affected our home in a very good way this week. We actually stood there and hugged me, Christy, and Lily. And Kristen has done everything but move in with us. And Kristen Bennett, she just loves being with us. We love having her. She snapped a photo of us, and it was a special photo of us three. But we do appreciate your prayers, appreciate all your concern and all of that. We will be giving you updates on how things will be going during that time. And we love you, and we appreciate you. I tell you, a pastor and his family needs a church. So I appreciate each and every one of you, church. I really do, being here for us. There was something on the back of my mind that I was trying to get around to, and I can't remember it, so if it's important enough, it'll come back. All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, please take your Bibles and go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. I'm going to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to try to bring a subject I believe God has laid on our hearts for this particular hour. It just runs in line with the service perfectly. It don't always do that. Brother Berman said one time, if it does that, great. If it doesn't, do it. Still preach. But I appreciate the times that everything lines up together. Father, we love you. We thank you this morning for the testimonies that we've heard, what our hearts have felt. Pray, God, in the next few moments, you would just hide me behind the cross. God, give me a clear head and a calm heart. Lord, you know I don't want to say anything that will bring dishonor upon you. I don't want to say anything from the flesh. Holy Spirit, I give you complete control of my tongue. And I pray that you would birth on my heart the things that you want me to say. Bring to my remembrance the things that we've studied. Give me physical strength and spiritual power this morning to be that vessel that you could use. I love you. We all love you. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. And amen. One verse this morning, that is Ecclesiastes 10, verse number 8. Notice, if you would, to verse number 8. The Bible says, "He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him." I'm interested this morning in that second phrase where it says, "And whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him." A hedge here that the Bible is talking about is a type of enclosure or a fence. It's some kind of wall. Now, we know that hedges are used for all kinds of things. We know that hedges can be used for separation purposes, that of properties. There'll be a hedge between them. But hedges can be used for beautification as well. Bushes, people put bushes, plant bushes to make their home have a little curb appeal. But hedges can also be used for protection. Meaning the hedge, the enclosure, the fence, the wall, it would keep things away from your home you don't want to come in. This verse this morning deals with the hedge being used for protection. Notice what it says. "And whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him." If this hedge is broken down, you'll get bit. And this morning, with that thought, I like to preach on this subject, the hedge of protection. The hedge of protection. I'll say that there are many of Christians this morning getting bit by that old serpent. Could it be because there has been a gap in their hedge? Could it be that somehow, some way, the hedge has been moved or broken down? I heard a story the other day about an IndyCar race car driver. And he said this. He said that their cars go 200 miles an hour on a straightaway track. I thought, wow. The seats where people sit in to watch the race is only 10 foot away from that track. The car is going 200 miles an hour. And right in the middle is a wall of protection. Can you imagine if that wall wasn't there? One of those Indy cars came zooming around that corner, hit that straightaway going 200 miles an hour, lost its control, wham, right into the crowd. I mean, it'll be devastating. People will be killed. But there's a wall of protection there. I want to say this morning, there is a hedge of protection that God has placed around His people to protect them from the evils of this world to enter in. Now, the question is this morning, can the evils of this world enter in, although God has a wall of protection? That's the question. Can the evils of this world enter in spite of this wall of protection? And I will say, yes. Yes. And what I mean by that answer, yes, that the evils of this world can still get in, is because there's the possibility for this wall to be broken down. We have a role to play in this wall of protection, this hedge this morning. We have a role to play in this matter. And so I'd like to just give you four things, if I could. Four simple things about the hedge of protection. And I hope it'll be a blessing and a help and a challenge to you. Number one, we see the reality of the hedge. Turn, if you would, to the book of Job, chapter number one. Job, chapter number one. There's the reality of the hedge. Job, chapter number one. I want to read verse number 6 down through verse number 10 and then comment out of verse number 10. Job 1, verse number 6, the Bible says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Or in other words, he is saying, in essence, Job is fearing you because you have something for him. You have blessed him. Satan asked this question, is Job serving you for nothing? Job is serving you for the blessings, is what he's saying to the Lord. Verse number 10, notice this. Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house, about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. So the devil says here that I have tried to get to Job. I have tried to get to him, but there's a hedge there. I've tried to get to Job's house, but there was a hedge there. And he also says, I've tried to get on every side of Job and get all that he hath, but I've been unable to achieve this because you have put a hedge of protection around all that he hath on every side, which entails his children, his finances, his friends, everything about Job. God has put a hedge of protection around him. And this verse indicates that the devil has tried and tried and tried to get to him. But he says, I cannot get to him because you have this hedge of protection. I want to say this morning, thank God for the hedge of protection. Thank God that he protects our own lives individually. Thank God that he protects our homes, and he protects our spouses. He protects our kids. Thank God for the protection of God this morning. So that's what we're seeing here. The Bible tells us that Job had a hedge of protection around him. Satan wanted to bring harm and misery upon Job in his life, but God had this hedge to protect him. Again, verse number 10 says, hast not thou made a hedge about him? Now, I do want to impose a question upon you here. Why was Satan wanting to hurt Job? Don't answer that. I'm just asking a rhetorical question. Why was Satan wanting to hurt Job? That's the question. And I'll tell you why. There's two reasons why. The first reason is because of devastation. He knew by devastating one of God's children, it would hurt the heart of God. One reason why the devil wanted to get to Job and to hurt Job and to touch all that he hath in his life, because he knew, the devil knew, it would hurt the heart of God. Think about it from a parental aspect this morning. You can hurt me, all right, but don't touch my child. Do what you want to do to me. You touch my child, you're going down, all right? It's a parental thing. Touch me, but not my child. And so Satan knew very well that if he touched the life of Job, which he was trying day in and day out to do, and he was unsuccessful, but he knew if he could harm Job, touch Job, do all these things to Job, that it would crush his father's heart, the heart of God. And so, Why does the devil have this animosity against God to begin with? Well, because it started out in heaven. The devil got kicked out of heaven because he wanted to take the place of God. He wanted to take the throne of God. He wanted to ascend above God and all of those things. And so because of that, he was booted out of heaven. Now the devil, for 2,000 plus years since the creation of time, the devil has had some animosity against God. So I want to say this morning that the reality of the hedge is real. The reality of the hedge is true. God is protecting his children, but on the same token, Satan wants to harm you. Satan wants this morning to knock on your door. Satan this morning wants to put a wedge in your marriage. Satan this morning wants to put a wedge in your family. The devil is constantly doing this, not so much that it's about you as it is about God. He wants to devastate the children of God because he knows it'll hurt the heart of God. You can touch me, but don't touch my child. Pastor or no pastor. Preacher or no preacher. You touch my child, you're going down. And so Satan has, number one, he has tried to hurt Job by devastation. I do want to say this, that Satan is no match for God. We all know that. But he's a match for us. Many lives are devastated this morning and ripped apart because the adversary, the devil, has got in and had a wedge and wedged his way in and created havoc in Christian homes. Has created havoc across our world. The devil has. Satan's no match for God, but he's a match for us. Listen, we need a hedge of protection this morning. If Satan can find a way to get through the hedge and harm a child of God, he will, because he knows it'll hurt the heart of God. So this morning we see that there's the reality of the hedge. Satan wanted to hurt Job because of devastation. But then, listen to this. Satan wanted to hurt Job because of accusation. Accusation. Satan also wanted to hurt the heart of God by accusing Job that he didn't love God. By telling God that Job don't love you. The only way and the only reason why Job is serving you is because you blessed him. And so Satan is seen here as being the accuser of the brethren. And he was accusing Job before God and saying, the only reason why he's serving you is because you touched his health. The only reason why he's serving you, because he has a home place. He has a wife. He has a children. He has all of these things. That's the only reason why he is serving you. He don't really love you. You take away all those blessings, he will curse you to your face. So we see that Satan also wanted to hurt the heart of God by accusation. And he accused Job before God of not really loving God, only serving him because of the blessings. And this was a lying accusation against Job to God. No one likes people who lie. I know I don't. No one likes people who go around telling lies. And Satan this morning, he is the biggest liar there ever was. Satan tells God things about you and I like this. The only reason they go to church and live for you is because you blessed them. Right now, Satan is telling the Lord, the only reason why you're here is because you got money in your pocket. The only reason why you're here is because you have a home to live in. You have a car to drive. He is telling God, they don't really love you. This is the only reason why they're coming, is because what you've given them. The devil is also telling Satan, or the devil is also telling the Lord, that the only reason why your people are in church is because they don't have nothing better to do. That's the only reason. And so he is constantly bringing accusations to God about his children. Listen to this. I read this morning. Let me just give it to you. In Revelation chapter number 12 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night." Aren't you glad that we have a lawyer before the judge? We have Jesus. He is our defense attorney, because the devil's on the other side saying they've sinned. They're nobodies. They're only serving you because of what you're doing for them. But there's coming a day when this liar, this devil, he's going to be cast down. In fact, he's going to be cast in his own lake of fire one day. But until then, oh yeah, someone's accusing you this morning. They're accusing you. And sometimes, Ceylon, he likes to get on your shoulder and say, "Oh, it's easy to serve God on Sundays because it's Sunday. It's easy to serve God on Wednesday because it's Wednesday. Oh boy, why aren't you serving God Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday?" And ignorant me, I try to get in an argument with the devil, Brother Allen. I say, "I do serve God on those days. I do my best to serve the Lord. I'm not perfect." He goes, "Oh, what do you mean? You're standing up before that church telling everybody what they can do and not do. You're propping yourself up like you're perfect." And then I stumble sometime during the week in some fashion, and the devil says, "Told you so. Now, big boy, get back up there and preach. Sunday's coming fast. You've got to bring the message." Am I right about it? Is it just preachers he does that to? Or does he do it to all of us? He does it to all of us. He is the accuser. And listen, Jesus has nothing to do with that. Jesus is our defense attorney. He is saying before God the Father, the ultimate judge, "I see the blood. That's the only thing I see in their life is the blood. They're forgiven and their sins are gone." And so we are in a spiritual battle this morning, and we have to know how to fight. We have to know how. Because there's an accuser, and he is wanting to get in your home. He is knocking at your heart's door. He is wanting to play games. And so we see here that Satan wanted to hurt the heart of God by accusation. Now, the question is, did Job really love the Lord? Yes, he did. Chapter 1 of the book of Job, look at verse 21. "And said," this is after he lost his all of his children. He lost his finances, his farm, his home, everything. Him and his wife left. "And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Wait a minute. The devil said, "You take away your hand to bless, and he'll curse you." But the Bible says that Job didn't curse God. And so there's this scene in heaven of God correcting the devil. Or there's this spiritual scene, I will say, where there is God and he has his man Job on trial. And he is literally using the devastation of the life of Job to prove to the devil, no, though he don't have to, that Job truly loves God. What is God doing in your life this morning? Could it be that God is allowing you to go through something big so that he can point his finger at the devil and say, "I told you so. You said they weren't going to make it. I told you they were. I told you so. They love me. They love me." Could it be that, listen, God doesn't have anything to prove to Satan. But Satan likes to play games. The Lord will just show him who the leader is. Who's in charge. You see, devil, you thought they were going down and they made it through. You see, devil, you thought Job was going down, but he made it through. He made it through. So Job, he really did love the Lord. He accused Job of not loving God, but he was a liar. And God knows how to deal with liars. Revelation 21:8 says, they will be cast into the lake of fire. What I'm trying to say. All liars will have their part in the lake of fire. And the devil will have his place in the lake of fire one day for being this liar. You see, God knew Job loved him. This was to show the devil he was a liar. But Job was real and Job was genuine. Thank God this morning for the hedge of protection that we have. We don't realize the times that Satan has tried to get us and devastate us, but God was protecting us. Oh yeah, this morning there is a reality of the hedge. There is a hedge of protection. Number two, not only do we see the reality of the hedge, but then there's the reason for the hedge. The reason. Why do we have a hedge around us? I'll tell you why. It's because of what we've been saying. Protection. Protection. 1 Peter 5:8, I'll just give it to you. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There's a lion after you. And don't turn there unless you're already there. But back in the book of Job, the Bible even says in verse number 1, verse 7, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. The devil was walking up and down the earth trying to find someone that would oppose him. And the devil made his way to Job's house, the scriptures imply, several times. God said, have you considered my servant Job? He's a real thing. He's the real thing. And he said, I would, but you have a hedge about him. You have a hedge. And so God was protecting him. And listen, we need to be sober this morning. Be vigilant. Let us be aware of this possibility that there is this lion who is devastating lives and he is waiting for you to trim the hedges. He's waiting for the opportunity for the hedge to come down so he can get in and so he can bite. Keep the hedge up. Keep the hedge up in your life. There's the reason for the hedge, and it is protection, because Satan wants to devour. I want to hurry on to point number three. Not only the reason for the hedge, the reality of the hedge, but then there's the removal of the hedge. What do you mean removal? Why would God remove this hedge of protection? Does God remove the hedge of protection? Yes. Yes. Listen, God can remove this hedge of protection. And there's two primary reasons why he does. Number one, he does it for his glory. Listen, I've said many a times, and I'll say it this morning, I don't always agree, Brother Johnny, with what God does, but I submit to it. Sometimes it takes a while of God convincing me that he is who he says he is, and I know he is the whole time. But although I don't agree with him, I do submit to him. A lot of things I don't agree with God on, or some things I should say, but I submit at the end of the day. Submit. But there's the removal of the hedge, and And God does this at times, number one, for His own glory. God allowed the blessings to be removed in Job's life, yet Job continued to be faithful. This brought God glory. When Job remained faithful, the devil was like, oh, man. Oh. And probably much more. But it brought glory to God. It proved the devil wrong. And Job was a Christian on display during his time of suffering. God is wanting to display some Christians this morning. Can the Lord trust you in a trial? He wants to put somebody on display that says, hey, you can take the blessings, you can give the blessings, but regardless, they love me. Can you be that Christian on display? And so we see that from time to time, God will remove the hedge so that He can point His finger in the devil's face. Who constantly accuses us and says, you liar, they love me. There's a second reason for the removal of the hedge. And not only it's for the glory of God, but there's the subject of chastisement as well. God, at times, if need be, He will lower that hedge of protection as a form of discipline. Now, you understand me this morning. I'm not talking about a walking a perfect, sinless life. Nan one of us are perfect and sinless. Nan. You know that's a real word, don't you? None of us are. But as if my child were to do something rebellious, I may have patience toward her, and I do. And it may seem like she's having her way with her daddy. But I'm a patient man. God knows I try to be a patient man in all areas of my life. But I see something in her that's great. I know she's better than that. I know she'll get it. It's just a matter of time. But there is a specific time in the parental aspect when a parent sees their child going another direction and they are just rebellious. And the only thing that will stop it is a whooping. Is discipline. Is chastisement. Listen, when we are obeying God the best that we can, we are living for Him, we are under the umbrella of His protection. When the rain falls, we don't feel it because we're under that umbrella of protection. We don't feel the rain. But the moment we throw that umbrella to the side, we say, we got this. We're going to do what we want to do. We are now out from underneath the umbrella of God's protection. And I want to say that is a dangerous place to be. We have so many people that are trying to do their own thing in life. And listen, we're all human. We all veer. We all stumble and fumble at times, but we have to be repented up to date. We have to keep God first. He has to be the centerpiece on our table in life, because if we get out from underneath that umbrella of protection, who knows what could happen? I'm not a perfect man. I've said that several times this morning, it seems like. But we're getting ready turn our daughter over to the surgeon for 4.5 hours. And listen, Christy said, I was there for all the appointments for the past 10 years, and I was. I remember the first day that we found out that she had it. We just went for an exam at 7 years old. And the doctor told her to bend over, and they seen a curvature in her spine. That crushed me. It crushed me. I'm her dad. I'm her dad. And immediately we went over to the hospital for an x-ray, and the doctor said, come here, son, let me show you this. And it looked like a snake slithering in the grass. praise the Lord, after this surgery, they're correcting the top, and the bottom's going to follow suit. The primary curve, the aggressor, is the top part, and so the bottom's going to follow suit. And our girl is going to have a straight spine. But I can remember for all those years, I mean, I was just devastated, crying, couldn't make sense. Why? Why? I pastor. Aren't I supposed to have spiritual privileges with you, oh God? I preach. This isn't supposed to happen to me and my family. For Christ's sake, Lord, there's murderers on death row with perfect spines. Why? I mulled over that and mulled over that. I'm telling you, I mulled over that for years. And finally, I can't really tell you how it happened, but I know it started one day. I said, Lord, I can't cry no more. I have a family to lead, a church to lead. And my tears showed up everywhere I went. It showed up in my messages, even when it wasn't even the message touching me. It was my daughter's situation. It showed up in public. I was just a crying man everywhere I went for 10 years. God helped me to stop crying. A person I talked to not long ago said, in the medical field, said, I tell you what happened, Justin. You have reconciled with your emotions. She says, you're maturing. And God is leading you. I said, thank you. Thank you for saying that. And by the way, it's okay to cry. And pastors cry. And people cry. I preached not long ago. It's okay to cry. There's a song I played on the big screen. It's okay to cry. That's how our body releases pain. And all of those things. It's okay to cry. But I said all that to say this, that we come down to this time of her surgery, and I want to be under that umbrella of God's protection. I don't want to be over here doing my own thing, saying, God, help. Please, God, help. No, I'm not perfect. Never said I was, but I want to be underneath His umbrella protection. I want to be repented up to date. I want to be prayed up to date. I want to have a good prayer life. I want to give all I can give in my study time, in my preaching time, in all my pastoring time, and for my family. I didn't just start doing this. God has changed me within the past 10 years. The moment we step out from underneath that umbrella of protection, we are out of God's will. Many a people this morning, not everybody, but many are not here because they're out of God's will. Now, I know there's some watching on Facebook. They're medically hindered. I know that. Thank God for Facebook. That's the way it is in 2024. But there are some that are choosing the bar stool this morning. There are some who are choosing drugs this morning. There are some choosing to shop all day at the mall this morning. There are some who are working. And there's nothing wrong with working. I understand that. But when you're trying to get rich, and money has you, then you're in a bad place. All kinds of illustration examples we can get, but let us stay underneath that umbrella of God's protection. Because He can remove the hedge. He can remove the hedge. Our text says in Ecclesiastes 10:8, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Child of God, keep God first. Keep putting Him first. You fumble, get up, try it again. Pray, read your Bible, meditate on the things of God. Go to church, do all that you can do, because when you do those things, God has a hedge up. God has a hedge up. And only sometimes He'll lower that hedge if He wants to bring Himself glory or if we need discipline. But both are done in love. Both are done in love. So we have the removal of the hedge, and then lastly, I want to say this, we have the recipients of the hedge. Listen to this. Who are the recipients of being under the hedge of God's protection? Those that fear Him are. This is why I couldn't remember what I wanted to say earlier, because I'm supposed to say it now. Isn't that amazing? Psalm 34, listen to this. Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. The recipients of this hedge are those that fear Him. God gives everybody an angel. However you want to interpret this verse, you go for it. But I'll say this, the angel of the Lord, listen, I know the Lord is around about us, but I also believe that there is guardian angels. And perhaps the Bible's here speaking of the Lord Himself. But you know, there's another place in Hebrews that talks about being not caught unaware of entertaining strangers. For sometimes you entertain angels, is what it says in essence. I believe God has guardian angels. I believe God Himself guards us. And the recipients of this hedge are those that fear Him. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth him. Not only the recipient is those that fear Him, but those who fear Him in the home and government. So basically, the recipients of the hedge are those that fear Him, but the home are recipients of the hedge, and the government is a recipient of the hedge. The home and the government has been instituted by God. But here's the problem. We take God out of the home, we take God out of the government, we are stepping out from underneath the umbrella of God's protection. Amen. Thanks be unto God that we have a person in the White House that knows how to lead our country. Amen. And He will lead us in the ways of righteousness. And He honors the Lord, and He is pro-life. And all of these things. He stands for the Bible, and He stands for Israel. And He's already getting to work on our borders and everything else. So if God is in the home and God is in the government, then we can expect to see a hedge of protection. Who knows what might happen in our land over the next 4 years? Who knows? Lastly, and I'm done, if they want to come. Those that fear Him are the recipients of the hedge, the home, the government. That is, if they fear the Lord. But then lastly, those who stay in church are under this hedge of protection. I read this verse a lot, but I want to give it to you one more time. In Hebrews 10:25, listen to this. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Oh, Brother Jack, I've heard that many times. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Yeah, but listen, one more time. There's three things in this verse, if you'll stop a minute and listen. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You know what's wrapped up in that statement? Numbers. There is strength in numbers. That's why we come together, is to get strengthened from one another. There's strength in numbers. Don't bear your burden alone. Come to church. Thank God we got a church family for this next season of our life. Thank God. Not only, and listen, I'm not pouting or nothing this morning, but I'll say this, not only that, but we got to find our new school. School's shut now. I'm moving on from that. I don't know how much of that's supposed to be aired, but it's the truth. When it rains, it pours, amen? I'm glad we got a church family that we can congregate ourselves together with. I need you. My wife needs you. My daughter needs you as much as you may need us. We need you. Thank you for being there for us. There's strength in numbers. There's encouragement. Look, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another. We don't come to church to gossip. We don't come to church to talk trash. We come to church to encourage one another. I said this because I got it from the movie The Forge, but I mean it. Let us be a fountain, not a drain. Pour into your brothers and sisters. Speak life. Speak hope. Don't be negative. But speak the truth in love. And then the last thing is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What is that? Is that Sunday, the day approaching? No, it's bigger than that. The Lord's return. Jesus is coming back, and because of that, we ought to come together more. And those who come together in church, the Bible says that God will strengthen you and encourage you. The Lord's coming back soon. I want to leave you with this one verse this morning about staying in church. Psalm 92, verse number 13 through 15. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. We don't have no older people here this morning, do we? No, we got fruitful people here this morning. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall, well, we know what the next one says, but it's the Bible. They shall be fat and flourishing. You know, this is figuratively speaking, right? This don't mean go hit, you know, the Great China Buffet after church this morning. Sure, it does. I mean, to show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. God has a hedge this morning, and He's protecting those who come to church because of what's offered in church. He wants to protect the home, the government, and those that fear Him. That's the message this morning, is the hedge of protection. The recipients, the removal, the reason, and the reality. Father, we love You today. We thank You. We praise You. I hope something was said that was a help to somebody. I pray that You'd use Your word, use this time of invitation so that people might come if they need to come. And we'll praise You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. All right, let's all stand to our feet this morning. And if you need to come, please come on the first verse.
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way.
Anybody else?
Thou art the
saved this morning.
After Thy will.
Where will you be 100 years from now? Will you be in heaven?
While
why?
I am waiting.
Why will you be in heaven? Come, let's talk about it if you're unsure. Let's talk about it.
Yielded and
whatever need you may have, make us want to come and pray.
Have
they want to ask God to strengthen that hedge.
Have Thine own way. Search me and try.
There's still time if you need to come.
Master today. Wider than snow. Wash me. Just now, as in Thy presence, humbly I bow.
All right, that'd be enough singing this morning, and we still have one praying, so we're conscious of Him. Thank you for coming and being with us this morning. I hope you received something from the music and the message. I believe we're meeting at 4:30 today.
4:30, yes, sir.
4:30 for just a little bit of choir practice. So remember that, 5 o'clock service, and we'll meet. get you back here, Lord willing, in just a little while. So everybody have a blessed and safe afternoon. Anything else to mention before we close? Anything at all? All right. Well, in this concluding prayer, I do want to pray over these boxes this morning that God would use them and save little hearts and bless the little ones over on foreign fields. Again, thanks to everybody for participating in the OCC operation. Father, in this concluding prayer, we do pray, Lord, over these Christmas boxes, these shoe boxes. Each box represents a heart that's been poured into it, a heart wanting to see children saved, and a heart wanting to feel loved and receive something for Christmas even. And so, Father, I pray that as these boxes are sent, God, that your hand would be upon every one of them in whatever country they're going to. And, Lord, I just pray that these young people, these kids, these children, Lord, would be saved and have a great Christmas. Oh, how they're hungry in foreign lands for the gospel. Compared to us in the USA, we could take it or leave it. Father, one day they may be sending missionaries from other countries to the USA to preach to us. And so, Father, we love you and we thank you. Bless the boxes. Bless the hands that prepared them. Bless the children that are going to receive them. Be with us all. Keep us safe. Bring us back safely tonight. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. You're at liberty to go. Have a blessed afternoon. All hearts cleared.